The disciples are wondering when it will be time for freedom and restoration. Are we there yet? Is this it? Is it what you're doing next? Are you going to heaven to go get it and bring it back down? They've been expecting freedom and restoration to look a certain way, like a military battle. Even after the cross and the empty tomb, they're still hoping there's going to be this political revolution and a particular kind of freedom and restoration on earth for Israel. But the angel says, don't worry about when. Be ready, be open. When the Spirit moves, the Spirit moves. And you'll see, and you'll know, and your job will be to tell about what you see. Telling about what you see, being a witness, is different than understanding what's happening. That never seems to be the call of Jesus. We don't have to understand exactly what's happening. It doesn't have to make sense to us. The call is to talk about what we see. Still, that's easier said than done, because sometimes we'd rather understand, or we don't like what we see, and we'd rather ignore it. This week I've been thinking a lot about the Holy Spirit's pattern for Reformation. As Lutherans, we talk a lot about the Reformation that happened just over 500 years ago, and then sometimes we go on to say, and we're always reforming. We're always still becoming. We're never going to have this all figured out. But I wonder if we're in another Reformation right now, another re-becoming in a big way. The Spirit shows up and gets feisty whenever systems and institutions, like the church, become most concerned with saving themselves, most concerned with preserving what's already happened, what they already have, the history and the tradition, trump real people and real communities in the here and now. Whenever that happens, whenever the institution prioritizes saving itself, the Spirit starts to cause a longing. I'm almost 40. As my kids would say, I'm 39 and a half. And I think my whole life has been lived in the longing, this longing of the church. There's a longing to go back to the way things used to be. There's a longing to know what's coming next. A lot of people in my generation don't go to church because they're longing for something that is so different than the self-preservation and the story about what has already been. The Holy Spirit starts a reformation by causing a longing in people inside the church and outside the church, on the edges of the church, oppressed by the church, gossiping in the church parking lot. The Spirit moves, and the longing begins. When I got into parish ministry, I kind of thought my whole career in the church would be about this longing, that I would be long retired before the wiggling free, the loosening of the Spirit came to be. I thought the decades I spend in the church will probably be like interim ministry, with people who are really sad that it isn't the way that it used to be, and with a Spirit that is not yet ready to reveal what's coming next. And so my job would be to hold things really lightly, to ask big questions, to help us meet each other in our fear and try to get a handle on what actually matters while things are changing so slowly. And then this year happened. Within a matter of 2 weeks, church buildings all over the country were closed and locked for Easter. The church was like an empty tomb. The people were sent home and into the streets, back into their communities, to think about what this faith actually means when we can't be together with our stained glass on Sunday mornings in the same way. Pretty immediately, there was a rush to get back inside, to get back to the way things were. And some denominations and organizations did just that. The goal was to come back together in the same way we had been. But I kind of wonder if the Spirit smirked at all of that and said, "No thanks, I'm good out here." Because the Spirit had been stirring up a longing for decades, loosening itself from our self-preservation and wriggling free. I know when a reformation happens, according to the Spirit's will, God has been paying attention to the way that we're building muscle mass and muscle memory. The muscles we use are the muscles that get stronger, right? And so when our organizations and institutions spend more time talking about what keeps us apart or figure out how to slow down change or try to explain how we're either completely separate from the empires of the earth or how this gospel can work together with the politics that make us comfortable, I think when the Holy Spirit sees us not talking about what we're supposed to be talking about, God has a problem with that. Our human pattern for compartmentalizing comes out in the way that we can take a movement ordained by God and chop it up into little moments, pulling them apart from each other, suggesting that they don't have anything to do with one another. We spend a lot of energy, a lot of time, separating things that matter to God and actually go together because it's complicated and it's scary and it's different. And if we see it, then we have to talk about it. That's our pattern. But God has this pattern for intersections, for crossing the barriers that we set up, for putting an even bigger vision together and daring us to look again. Look around. Talk about what you are seeing right now. That is the call. Last week's story had us thinking about all of the pressure to go backwards, all of the ways we are already being asked to fit into systems that have been put on pause during this pandemic. Because systems don't want to grow and change. They want to keep things the way they already are. But show me a story in the Bible where God wants to keep us just the way we are. Show me a story in the Bible where the people say, "We want to go back to the way things were before the big event," and God says, "You're right. Let's hit rewind and go back and do it exactly like that again. That was so much better." It starts in the garden when they can't undo eating the fruit. They want to go back, and God says, "We can't. We're going to keep going. And it's going to be so hard, and it's going to be different, and it's going to hurt. But I'm going to go with you, and we're going to figure this out together." There is only going forward. We go forward with a God who is changeless and yet is constantly changing. We know Jesus as the Word who was with God in the very beginning, and also the baby in the manger, and the man feeding thousands, the guest and the host and the meal. We know him on the cross, and risen with scars, and ascending into heaven, and with us always until the end of the age. We know him as the one who is in our hearts. And yet, just like the disciples, we are hanging on. We are looking up into the heavens and expecting him to drop right back down to bring everything back to the way it was, for gravity to do the trick. These angels, with another word, they say, "Men of Galilee, people of Bethlehem, why are you looking up? What are you waiting for? Look around. Be here right now. God has given you the courage you need to talk about what you see, to put the pieces back together. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to justify it or explain it. It doesn't have to make sense. But the call is to look. And the call is to tell a story about what you see. May God, who is the Word, give you words to look around here and now and to talk about what is true. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen.